The Fan on Demand. Number one in your programs, number one in your hearts, number one in every friggin' category that matters. Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
You're nodding your head there. Like that tune or something?
Just listening. Just listening.
McCown and Cox here on the 1st of May. It's hour number two of the radio program on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. A little bit later on, Dale Tallon, Michael Clemens, Glenn Healy, and Paul Jones all with us.
Is that why you're all dressed up?
No.
Because Pinball's here?
Nope.
When Pinner's here, you get all fancy?
You know me. I don't know who's on the show until I walk in.
Oh, you know. You're just standing there talking to him.
Look, did I know? Did I have any idea who was on the show? No. I would have booked an entirely different list of guests.
So you would not like Michael Pinball Clemens to be on the show today? Is that what you're saying?
All right, everybody but him.
Oh, now you want him.
Well, I always liked Pinball. I mean, he's a pleasant surprise. Healy, not so much. Jones, he's all right. Tallon.
We like him.
I don't mind Tallon either.
Yeah, we like
him. Now that I think of it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good group.
Yeah.
It's all guys you'd hang out with, you know?
I think that's right.
If you had to hang out with somebody?
Yeah. Like you and I wouldn't hang out together, but I'd hang out with those four guys.
I don't think any of them would be interested in hanging out with you.
I've hung out with all of them. Well, no, not Jonesy, not really. But Healy I have.
Really? You haven't hung out with Jones?
Well, we're never on the same.
You never cross paths?
I played a little bit of basketball against his brother.
And how'd that go?
His brother was a star and played a lot. I didn't play very much.
Was this like school stuff?
It was high school, grade 13.
Oh, really?
When there was grade 13. He played for...
Is there like no grade 13 anymore? Nobody goes to grade 13? Really, huh?
Yeah, no. He played for, I think the same school Paul did. He played for Oakwood, which was a basketball power back in, this is 1979. And I played for Southmount in Hamilton, which was also a power, one of the best.
Why am I on television? Why is Damien not on television? Damien's talking. I'm not. There you go.
So I played for Southmount in Hamilton, which was also one of the powers. The difference was I didn't play. I watched. The Jones boys played.
And that's all very interesting. I'm more upset about the fact that there's no grade 13. So I went through all that for nothing?
Yeah, correct.
Since 2003, really? I think I've had a couple of kids that have been lying to me.
Wakey, wakey, Bob.
Got up in the morning and left the house. Told me they were going to grade 13.
So you're not interested in my basketball career, such as it was.
Well, but you clearly stated there was no, you had no career.
No, I was there.
No, you had no career.
I was present.
You didn't play much.
Almost not at all.
Almost not at all. My last year that I played basketball in high school, and this is interesting. Now, I'm 6'2". That's not exactly a giant for basketball. Even going back a few years, I was the tallest guy on the team next to one other guy who was like 6'4", and he was the center. Our center was 6'4". We had a bunch of short guys on the team. And so I played forward, and when he had to get a blow, I went to center.
I remember.
And there were guys 6'7", 6'8", well, you know.
This year, the year that I went, that I played with this team, or participated, wore the uniform with that team, well, I remember very clearly going to a tournament in Sault Ste. Marie, and Sarnia had a 7-footer. We had like
that's
a,
just not right.
We had a 6'7" guy.
Oh, that's big center. Though still.
Oh, yeah, we had, like, this was serious basketball. For me, it was serious watching.
So tell the truth.
Yes.
Can you dunk?
I could.
Really?
I could dunk a volleyball comfortably, and I could dunk a basketball, but not comfortably.
I couldn't dunk.
Yeah. Now, a new.
Well, you're not supposed then, to.
And I could, you know, I could do okay, but I was.
I had a basket in my backyard.
I was the 12th man on an 11-man team.
Yeah, yeah. I had a basket in my backyard, and it was mounted on top of the garage.
Mm-hmm.
And man, and it wasn't like it was literally a piece of plywood and a hoop, because you used to be able to just buy the hoop, right?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I didn't even know if you could buy a backboard back then. So somebody, I don't know, my grandfather, somebody put it up there with pieces of 2x4 and whatever. And so it was like a bitty ball height. It was like 8 feet, maybe 7.5 feet off the ground. So I could dunk there. And I was very excited about that. That's my phone. I don't know why.
Oh, that's a fine. See, when I grew up.
Well, it didn't do anything. It just vibrated.
When I grew up, 48 Upper James Street in Hamilton, we had a basketball net in the backyard. By the time I was probably in my early teens.
Was it a real one?
First it was on dirt. But then that didn't work so well, because as we played and played and played, the rim got higher and higher and higher because the dirt went lower and lower. And then my dad built us a court, and we had the Riley boys.
Really?
Yeah, and then the Riley boys next door, and they had a bunch of boys, and I have three brothers. And wow, these games got bloody. There were rarely a game
now,
that someone was
like,
not bleeding.
Now, did you have a real basket with a stanchion and everything?
Yeah, my dad built this one.
Oh, he built it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My dad's a very clever fellow. So those games were physical. In
now,
fact,
was the basket.
On one side, there was a fence, and after a couple of years, the fence was like leaning way over to the
sure,
Riley side of the things.
Because you go up against the fence.
It was a physical game.
It's always
because we used
physical.
To call it Cox Rules basketball, and it was physical.
Now, was the basket like a straight up and down, or did he suspend it?
Oh, no, it was up and out. He made like a little L.
Wow.
Yeah, no, my dad's, a clever guy. So that
was like the real deal, huh? Did you have two baskets or just one?
Just one.
Oh. Did you paint a key on there?
No. But we put a little mark where you could shoot free throws from.
Well, like chalk line?
Yeah.
It wasn't like a chalk outline at any point. Nobody died.
There were days when it could have been. There were a lot of my mother coming out to settle disputes.
I remember my mother ran over my basketball one time with her car. Somehow she didn't see it.
No.
I don't know why I left it where I left it, but she ran over the basketball. It did not survive.
I've met your mother. I'm surprised she could see over the...
Yeah. She's like this.
She's a gracious little lady.
Yeah. She's like the little old ladies in Florida that you see driving on on US 95.
That's right. Right.
Looking through the steering wheel.
You can just see the forehead.
Yeah. Making left turns from the right-hand lane, right turns from the left-hand lane.
That's right.
For them, the signal is an option. It's not necessary. It's like, here I come.
So that was my basketball career. Now, last night, that was a great night to be at home. And I asked you before you left, what were you going to do? And I ended up flipping around, and I did a blog on it today. But between the hockey and the basketball and Rob Ford and John Tortorella getting fired and Lord knows what else, it was just one thing after another. Do, 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 do. Story, 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 story. It was a crazy, crazy night. And the Blue Jays.
It's a great night to be home. I never left the couch. I mean, I woke up this morning on the couch.
Sitting there.
What happened? Exactly.
Rob Ford. He does do us proud, doesn't he?
Oh, my God. But I only watched, I guess there must have been, they must have done a crawl across the screen or something. Somehow I don't know how, but I got wind of the news around 8 o'clock or something.
The news of?
Ford.
Oh, his worship.
And so I flipped over to some news channel, something.
Yeah.
And watched maybe 2 minutes of it. I said, okay,
See, now that's interesting, because that's the difference now between now and 5 years ago even. When I get wind of something, often the first way I get wind of it is not from the television. It's on Twitter. And when I want to see what's going on, I go to Twitter. And that's where stuff starts coming.
See, but I don't sit there with my...
Mm-hmm. I understand.
I don't do that.
I understand.
So
that's a difference.
I different, yeah, and I got it from somewhere and flipped over 2 minutes, and I figured I knew the whole story. I wasn't going to learn any more. And so I did exactly what I said I was going to do. It was 99%
basketball.
Raptors.
And then a little baseball. A
little bit of baseball.
Yeah.
And then a bit of hockey.
The Kings.
And well, when the Kings started, of course, the baseball was over, or more or less, pretty much. And I think the basketball was over, too.
I kept flipping over to the baseball, but nothing was ever happening. And then I guess some stuff did happen, and they waste another good start from Drew Hutchison.
Well, he had a decent start and went into the seventh, I guess, and they just couldn't get any offense going.
And now Melky's hurt.
And two, and Laurie sat out last night, and you have to think, not to get on the other third baseman. But you have to think if Lurie was in that game, there were two run scoring doubles down right over third base.
Sorry, who played third last night?
Francisco.
Oh, he did play third. Okay.
And with due respect, he's not quite as nimble.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a bigger guy.
I think it's a, you know, it's, I think Brett Lurie, he's off to, you wouldn't say he's off to a great start. He's off to a J.P. Aaron Sebia start. Hitting lots of home runs.
Lots of RBIs.
Lots of RBIs, really low average. Boy, though, he has trouble keeping body and soul together.
Well, and he was hurt last night, so that's why he didn't play. And I thought both of those balls he could have got to.
Mm.
For sure the second one. And that was, those two ground balls over third base, both of which were doubles, essentially was the difference in the game.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's a long road to 91 wins, my friend.
It's getting longer.
Yeah. But it's.
They're going to have to hurry up.
You know what, Bob? It's early.
Everybody has to go through. Everybody goes through one of these. Every team.
But don't you think it matters when you go through it?
Yeah. Sure it does.
Like if it,
and you need to stop this like right now.
Right.
Right now.
And they need to rip off three or four in a row, get the thing back on thing and then move
their
forward.
Their confidence level going again.
Well,
that Raptor game last night was, I mean, basketball games inherently, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday. There's no sport for me that is as, even though I understand how the game is played and that there's ebb and flow and teams make runs and blah, 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 they're up 26 points in the third quarter, late in the third quarter. 26 points. Like, they're in the 80s and the Brooklyns are in the 50s.
Yep.
It's like 85-59. Well,
here was the demarcation point to me. It was a laugher, right? It was
close. Close in the first quarter. Late in the first quarter, Raptors start to open it up, and they just keep building, building, building.
To the point where I was listening to our good friends Matt Devlin and Jack Armstrong. Love those guys, but they're not even talking about the game anymore. They're talking about how great the fans are and how crappy the fans are in Brooklyn, and the fans in Brooklyn should take lesson from
the foregone conclusion.
They're not even talking about the game anymore. This one's in the bag. When this thing goes back to Brooklyn, you guys should cheer for your team. And all of a sudden, it was like it started getting quiet.
Oops.
and nobody could guard Joe Johnson. Nobody.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah, but nobody could guard him. Terrence Ross got that big eye, deer in the headlights look again.
Like, holy crap. Well, he made a couple shots last night, which is a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, DeMar DeRozan is the one guy, and Kyle Lowry, they're the guys who can stay cool. Nobody else looked like they wanted to take a shot. Now, the one thing they did do, I thought fairly effectively, when they started getting rattled and when Brooklyn started coming back, we can ask Jonesy about this later, they did try to not just fire up the first ball. They did try to work the clock. And in the end, Brooklyn ran out of clock a little bit.
I guess so. I don't know. I just thought the whole thing was a bad dream.
I couldn't believe that Brooklyn in
44 points in the fourth quarter they gave up.
Yeah. I couldn't 44. Believe. Yeah, I know.
What Brooklyn score in game four? 10?
Yeah.
10? I think they scored 10 points in the fourth quarter.
Does that make you more or less confident that they're going to be able to finish this series?
I got no idea.
Yeah, I know.
I got no idea. This was two games.
But they might want to do it in game six.
12 they got the other night. Sorry.
They might want to do it in game six.
Well, yeah. Well, my heart, I don't think it could take a game seven.
Yeah. My poor son, he's just living and dying with every basket. He's so down. He's so down.
If they lost that game, that would have been epic.
Well, then we would have been talking game seven last year for the Leafs. 26-point meltdown for the Raptors.
Yep.
You know.
What the hell's going on?
Compared to that year, the Blue Jays lost the last seven games to lose the pennant. Remember what year was that, 87? Something like that. Remember when they went to Detroit and lost all of them?
Yeah, that was 80s. Six.
I mean, that would have been. Now, this wasn't an elimination game.
Maybe it was 87.
It wasn't an elimination game.
No, but whatever. But it's still an important game.
Mm-hmm.
But I got no idea now. So and I was gonna say, I keep wanting to say New Jersey, and Brooklyn sits their two experienced veteran guys
hardly play.
Well, played almost not at all in the second half.
Yeah, how much
didn't play a minute in the fourth quarter.
How much did Garnett play and how much did Pierce play?
Garnett and Pierce, I don't think, played 1 minute in the fourth quarter.
I mean, Garnett is almost not a factor at all.
Yeah, he is really done.
He's ancient.
No, but he's done. I don't know.
Pierce can still make some
shots. Pierce
can
still make some shots. Pierce can still play a bit.
Well, that team's being run by Joe Johnson and the guy who... Can they not guard the guy who shoots the threes?
Well, what are you going to tell us something? Garnett played 11 minutes and 40 seconds last night.
My word. And Pierce?
Well, probably 15, 24.
24, there you go. But certainly not the numbers. Now, when they made the trade with Boston to bring these guys in and gave up all those picks, this is not what they were envisioning.
No, this is a now team.
Yeah.
This is a team, they designed this team to win now.
I mean, Plumlee's,
there ain't no
Plumlee's had more impact on this
down
series than Garnett has had.
Well, I mean, Garnett hasn't been a factor in any game, really. I mean, he's had a couple games better than other games, but hasn't really been
a factor.
Hasn't been dominant.
There's a lot of yelling. And
hasn't been dominant. Pierce has been a factor up until last night.
Yep.
Anyway. So then I watched the Kings, and there we are, and the two axioms.
I don't know what you're saying.
The home team.
Oh, axioms. What is the... I think it's axioms.
Axioms or axia?
Yes.
Axii?
Axioms.
Axises? So the home team usually wins, or the first goal usually wins. How about neither?
Yeah.
Neither.
You know what the crazy thing about that game was last night? The San Jose Sharks played a pretty good game. They had a lot of chances. They put pressure on them. It wasn't like they just got blown out, but they just... I mean, we said this yesterday, both of us. And McSorley, when he came on, Kings are going to win. Kings won.
And they did.
Comfortably.
And going away.
Yeah.
A little bit. It wasn't comfortable, really. But.
Well, I mean, it was 2-1 going into third.
And yeah, then, I mean, it was a close game. It could have gone either way. And then they kind of opened it.
No, then they got the third, then they got an empty net. But I didn't feel at any point, like even when San Jose was up one zip, that they were going to win the game.
Didn't you?
No.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I sort of thought, here we go. Home crowd. They get the first goal. They're going to win this thing.
But no. Game of the night was Colorado-Minnesota. What a hockey game. Colorado had the lead.
That was sort of goofy.
They had the lead four times.
I know. Let's bring in our guest here. Maybe he wants to talk about this.
Maybe he'll explain it all to us.
I don't even know if he watches games.
Some guys don't.
Here's the executive vice president and general manager of the Florida Panthers. Here's our friend Dale Talon. Hi, Talon. How are you?
I'm exhausted from watching a lot of hockey.
Did you watch a lot last night?
Well, that's right for the bitter end. Three game sevens. That doesn't happen very often.
No. Well, Damien was just saying some GMs like to watch, some GMs don't like to watch. You're a watcher, huh?
Most of the time I watch. If I'm near a TV.
When are you not near a TV?
Yeah, really. When you're what? Climbing Mount Everest?
Yeah. What do you do on a regular basis that there's no TV around?
I know. When he's out in the middle of the golf course and doesn't want to be bothered.
Well, there's that. But
I'm in front of a computer or looking at a board to see who we can get to come here and play for us. That's what I'm doing.
I'm thinking you're watching that game and you're not probably, I don't think you're cheering for the Kings or the Sharks, but isn't part of you saying, oh, man, I wouldn't want that to happen to anybody. Go Sharks?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah, well, Doug Wilson and I are teammates and partners, so it's,
right.
I just think about what I would be going through after the game last night and then today and tomorrow and how difficult that is, and you really don't understand until you have a skin in the game how tough that is,
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough. I mean, I still... And nightmares about John Madden not being able to shoot it over Brodeur's pad three times in overtime in Game 7 2 years ago, So it never leaves you. It's hard. It's a piece of you.
You got to get over that,
It's like missing a three-footer for $100 Nassau at the National and you only got $50 in your pocket. It's hard to get over that. especially if the guy you're playing against is in the mob.
No, it's hard to get to the parking lot.
Little suggestion.
Send your caddy out to start your car.
Yeah.
Little suggestion. Don't play with the mob guys. Like, don't start playing with those guys.
They got all the cash.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're, and I know you don't want to speak for San Jose, so let's talk in generalities, but if a team that loses in that situation, I would think, and it's always, I think it's always a risk, but the risk is you can't overreact. Would you agree? Or do you have to say this is right.
Well, I think Edmonton, the Islanders, they all had heartbreaking losses, you know, in their prime. And then they turned that into a positive the next year. And then, you know, the Islanders won four in a row. And then, you know, Edmonton lost a tough series before they won their, you know, four or five in a row. And so you have to look at the bright side. You know, that's the only way you can. If you don't, then you're doomed.
Well, the only difference there, Dale, is that, at least in my opinion, that this isn't a one-year thing with a building team. This is a team that has gone through an evolution and a growth and has been to the dance several times, looking like a team that is going to compete for the Stanley Cup, not just get to the playoffs, but compete for the Stanley Cup. And so this isn't their first rodeo that they've fallen off the horse. They've done it a few times. There comes a point where I think you may have to think, you say, you know, maybe I ought to change the horse.
Well, you know, do you have to make that decision, which is a tough decision.
Boy, yeah.
That's the hard part about only one team makes it, and you can build a team for 4 or 5 years, and then you get to a crossroads, and you come to the fork in the road, like Yogi says, and then you take it, and you go over the cliff, you know, instead of going to the. it's not an easy business to be successful in. And even if you are successful, there's only one team happy at the end of the year, you know.
Wait a sec. How many Yogi-isms have you got in your back pocket?
Oh, more than one, I bet.
I love that. That's one of the hardly anybody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Yeah, it's too crowded. I manage good, but boy, did they play bad. Well, of course, that's the saying used now by every coach and general manager in all the sport. But so, speaking of that, some somber news.
Blame and take all the credit.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You made a change. You decided to make a change. Peter was in as an interim coach, and you had to decide whether to bring him back or not. What was the catalyst for the decision?
Well, you know, three coaches in a row with no head coaching experience. Young team, got new ownership now with a chance to go after some top free agents. The thinking is we need stability and experience and somebody that's been through the wars. So our young guys, can I look up to them and say, okay, he's been there before and he's done this before, and, you know, not have any doubts. But that's basically, I want to get a guy that has been there before. That's basically it. I think they're all good guys. And I was all hopeful. I was hoping that they'd all be successful, but just, you know, inexperienced sometimes. Right. Leads to doubt with young people and young players, and so that's why we made the decision.
We know you're not going to tell us, but have you, in your mind, do you know who you want?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, no. Are you expecting to make an announcement soon? Have you had a conversation with that person?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, not yet.
But you got a guy targeted.
I've got three guys.
All right.
Now, you linked it to free agency, and I mean, so that makes me think, obviously, you want somebody before the free agent season starts, because you want to be able to say, here's who you're going to be playing for.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to convince somebody to come to a new place, new market, without having any idea who's going to be his coach, you know?
Yeah. So when you go through the process here, and you may not even be going through a process if you know who your guy is, but is it important that the coach plays has the kind of philosophy, the same philosophy that you have as to how to play?
Yeah, I have a philosophy and a style of play that I want, and no sense hiring a coach that doesn't believe in that philosophy. I think that's a recipe for disaster. You know, I mean, I think obviously some different ways to get to that style, but, you know, like I don't want a coach that likes to play the trap. You know, that's not my style. I didn't play that way, and
yeah.
I don't like to build teams that play that way. So, you know, I think it's important that we have a similar philosophy to style of play.
With Dale Tallon, so you're in a market where you still have to attract a fan base on a regular basis, with due respect. You can't just open the doors and people will march in regardless of what's happening on the ice. So is your inclination, Tallon, to be very conscious of the entertainment value that you are presenting?
Well, of course. I mean, that's a big part of it.
Well, no, but for some guys, it's just about winning, you know? And like, I mean, there are guys out there that would love every game to be 1-0 or 2-1. They believe in that theory. They believe in that philosophy. Defense first, trap, do all this other kind of stuff, and put your feet to sleep. There's a team that won last night that has spent almost their entire existence playing that kind of hockey, although last night wasn't an example of it, Minnesota. Oh, I didn't say that out loud, did I? So, but, you know, maybe sometimes losing 6-5 is better than, well, it's not better than winning 1-0, but it's better than losing 1-0. Or winning 1-0, rather,
well,
sorry.
I think it's important to be well-rounded, to play any way you can. I mean, I think that you look back at the Islanders, they could play it any way you wanted. You know, if you wanted to play hard-nosed hockey, they'd do that.
Sure.
If you wanted to play an open game, a 5-4 game, or a 6-5 game, they could do that. And if you wanted to, so I like a team. Obviously, I want, you know, I'm trying to be perfect here. We need to win. At the start, now we're probably going to have to win 3-2, 2-1. I think now that we have a goaltender, we're going to have a chance to do that for until our, you know, we get that team that can score 5 goals a game. That's what I'd love to see. I'd love to see us score 5 every night and fill this building. But the reality of it is going to take time before we can do that.
Now, you mentioned the goaltender, Roberto Luongo. You've talked about free agents you'd like to get out there, but there may not be a lot of big names out there. But you have an asset that a lot of people would like, and that's the number one pick in this summer's entry draft. Any inclination in your mind to trade that, to bring in some assets to help you win now?
Why not? I mean, I'm looking at everything. I'm open for business. I have three options, either take it, move back, or trade it. You know, so that's what we're looking at. It's the best deal for our future. That's the key.
But, I mean, you hear that every year. Guys say, oh, yeah, I'd look at it. But then, and then at the end they say, no, I didn't get an offer anywhere near, which means they were open for it. I mean, would you get out there and shop this thing and say, guys, what will you give me?
Yes, I definitely will, especially this year.
Yeah.
Has that even started yet, Dale? When does that start? When does that come?
Yeah, we had a couple of nibbles the day after we won, you know.
Really, huh?
A couple of guys calling to bust my chops, and then, you know, what are you going to do? You know, so that's fine, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, it's a good omen for our franchise. It was really a good thing for us, a real positive thing.
How do you view this?
Like it was in Chicago. It was a great thing when we won the lottery to go from 5-1 and pick Kane, and the rest is history, you know.
Now, I think there are a number of people who would say there isn't a Patrick Kane in this year's draft, and that it's a good draft with lots of players,
but
not maybe the superstars at the top of the thing.
I just got back from Finland, and I tell you, this is a good draft, better than I thought it was going to be.
I heard the best player in the draft was a kid who's not even available this year, that Jack Eichel kid from the U.S. I heard was just lights out.
Very good, very good. Very skilled, big, skilled, well, fun to watch, beautiful stride, you know, really good skill. Matthews, a double underage there. The U.S. team was very good, too. So, but this year's draft is good. It's going to be a good draft, better than I think people anticipated. From what I saw, anyway, in Finland in the under-18s, it was really good.
So you don't think that you need to – a lot of times – teams have the number one pick and they can pick a guy and dress him up for the home fans and say, here's our future, here's your hope, here's our guy. But you'd be just as inclined to get, if you can, get some things that can help you win hockey games next season.
Yes.
Okay.
Because we do have a lot of young players. We have a lot of assets.
Right.
We have a really good crop of young players coming and on our team now. And we have accumulated 10 picks for next year's draft, of which we're hosting, by the way. So it's going to be fun. So we have a lot of assets. We sooner or later you got to add some good NHL players to these young, to mentor these young guys and help them.
Right.
True.
Now I want you to do something for me, Dale. I want you to invite Bob to the draft. He's never been to a draft.
And draft then,
Florida draft. Next year.
See, you've been invited. There you go.
Florida in what? July, June, July.
End of June, Bob.
It's a two-shirt, maybe three-shirt day.
Yeah, it's a five-shower day, is what it is, Talon. Like every time you step outside of any room, you got about 30 seconds, and then you got to get into more air conditioning. Otherwise, oh god, I got to take another shower.
Well, maybe you can get.
That's why you live at the beach.
Maybe you can get Dale to let you announce their pick.
Well, here's the other thing, too. And life suspends itself in the summertime in Florida at 3:30 every afternoon. Because you know what happens every day at 3:30 in the afternoon? Thunderstorm.
Thunderstorm.
Yeah.
See? Thunderstorm. Every bleeping day, like clockwork. Like my rooster going off at 5 a.m.
I don't mind those days, especially when you're sitting there freezing your cool.
Yeah.
How's the weather today up there?
It's okay.
Pretty crappy.
You know exactly what it's like. You played here. You know. You know. Don't be a smart ass.
It was 85 degrees at 8 o'clock.
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you. Phone cut out or something. Oh, so let me ask you this one. There's some people have scribbled that you might be looking at blocking off some seats in the arena, curtaining them off next year. You want to comment on that?
We're going to block off what? We're going to cover all the glass?
No, curtain off the seats. Block all the glass. Yeah, so nobody can see you.
Depends what the score is.
That happened this year.
Well, I'm just asking the question. I didn't make it. Somebody else wrote it. I don't know whether it's true.
Yeah, we're going to lower our capacity to just around 16,000.
Oh, okay.
Unless, you know, we're going to make it more of a, you know, a better environment, like a tighter environment. And, you know, we're gonna do some things here that, you know, that we haven't done in the past. And things are good. The new ownership, Benny Viola, has been great. I'm really excited about our future.
Well, you know, you can put in an international ice surface and then get rid of a whole bunch of rows of seats down front. And then
yeah, that's what we want after the Olympics. Problem. We want international ice.
Well, I think that's something we've got to go to. Not totally 100 feet, but maybe 90 feet, 92 feet.
Yeah, that's the hybrid.
You're watching the games. Yeah. Boy, I mean, there's not a lot of room out there at even strength.
No, that's like, I'm with Damien, like, and with you, too. Like, that, it's Finland, right, that has the hybrid?
Yeah, they have that hybrid, right. Yeah. I think it's great.
And a few of the U.S. colleges, like Notre Dame has the hybrid, and somebody else has, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it, too.
The guys are so big and so fast, there's no room. You know, it's tough. A lot of play along the walls and in the corners and behind the net.
Have you
a lot of room up there.
Have you run that one past the owner yet? I want to make the ice bigger. What do you say to that one?
I don't think it's possible. But
I know what he'd say to that. Goodbye, Dale.
The newer buildings need to have that footprint, I think, down the road.
Well, it's 70 degrees here in the studio, so you just keep sweating up a storm down there in South Florida. And
Not yet. It's still perfect right now. No humidity. It's pretty nice.
You want to hire a coach sooner rather than later, I assume, huh?
Well, you know, I'm going to have somebody in place before the draft.
What was the name of the guy you wanted again?
Can you keep a secret?
You know I can't.
So can I. That's a great line from Patrick Waugh.
Can you keep a secret? So can I.
Thank you, Mr. Talon, as always.
See you, Dale.
And if we don't talk, well, we'll talk
thank
to you after
guys.
After you find your new coach. We'll call you.
All right, terrific.
Thanks,
right,
pal.
Thanks.
See you. Bye-bye. There's...
He is one of our favorites. You got to go to the draft next year. It's a Sportsnet production.
No, I'm sorry. Someone has to stay here and turn off the lights at the end of the night.
Your buddy Pelly is right out there. He's chatting up pinball. It's like old Argo home days there. And he wants, he'll insist that you be at the draft.
Look, we got him on camera now. He doesn't even know.
Look at the two of them. They're saying, yeah, remember when we won the Grey Cup? We were so good.
Yeah. Don't pick your nose,
there
guy. You're on camera. Now he's banging on the door.
It's
I know he's coming. He's coming in here.
It's like an aquarium banging on the thing.
26 before the hour. Michael Pinball Clemens when we come back, and Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Minutes before the hour. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks, Canada's most listened to sports talk presentation, in spite of the fact that it's Cox and I hosting it. Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada will join us later, and Paul Jones, play-by-play voice of the Raptors last night. Now, I didn't listen to the game on radio, but I'll bet he was nervous.
Although, I bet he was pretty good.
Get to that later on. So now I had an epiphany. So I'm walking to go and get my tea, and we have this long hallway here, and I look down the hallway, and who's walking the other way? Michael Clemens and Keith Pelley.
Right.
Who, of course, are, you know, thick as thieves from their time together.
Thick as thieves doesn't tell you half the story.
Yeah, with the Toronto Argonauts.
Oh, yeah.
So here's...
Were they talking about bringing Ricky Williams back again?
I don't know.
Maybe. Were they talking about that one? How did that work out?
Ricky was great.
Ricky.
That was one of the great nights of my life. When I get a phone call in the middle of the night from Cinnamon said, Ricky Williams is here. You want to meet him? It's like 11:30 at night. I'm in bed. I'm in my jammies. I said, yeah, all right. I said, but you got to bring him up near me because they were downtown. He says, okay, we'll go to the Miller. I said, okay, I'll meet you at the Miller. So I go over to the Miller, and there's Ricky. I'm on one side of me is Ricky Williams. On the other side of me is Lee Steinberg. And this was when Lee was still.
Lee.
Yeah.
Lee misbehaving.
Lee was 1,000 sheets to the wind. He was incoherent.
Look at Fenner. He loves this story.
And now you know this to be true. You saw him sleeping in Keith's office, didn't you? Look,
no,
at
I didn't see anything. You,
I didn't see anything.
So there is the number one sports agent in the world on one side of me. And he would be like, he'd be asleep. He'd have his glass in his hand, and he'd look like he'd be asleep. And then every couple of minutes, you go, Hazababa. I go, pardon, Lee? Hazababa. And then he'd go back to sleep. And Ricky just, like nothing was happening.
He was just.
Oh, it was the weirdest night of my life. And then we had to take the glass. We had to walk Lee out to the parking lot, and we had to.
Walk him?
Yeah, we had to walk him out. Well, carry him.
Yeah.
And we got halfway across the parking lot. We realized we hadn't taken the glass out of Lee's hand. So Ricky grabs the glass. He says, Bob, can you take this back inside?
No problem.
No problem.
Oh.
All right, we're here to talk about this stuff.
Yeah.
Talk, talk.
It's one of the great events of the year. I always look forward to it.
What?
Can I say, let's go Raptors?
Oh, you're on that.
Did you have a heart attack last night?
I did. And my 11-year-old, she was just priceless. She says, Dad, if I have a heart attack as a teenager, it's because of the Raptors. But they just loved the game. It was just a great game. Yes.
It would have been one of the great collapses in the history of sport if they hadn't pulled that one out.
No
Damien
question.
Was talking about that. Like, would that have been right more or less monumental than the Leaf collapse?
Well, probably less because it wasn't an elimination game.
That's
but
right.
It would have been right up there.
The tiny giant,
Holy
though.
Cow.
Oh, my goodness. Kyle Lowry. I love him. Oh, yes. Love him.
Well, you like all the short guys.
This is true. But the tiny giant. I love it.
Oh, I didn't finish my story about him and Keith walking down the hallway together.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So do you guys exchange clothes? Because I just realized,
yes.
Like he might have you by a half an inch,
yeah.
But that's about it.
I have to tell you that
there may be more to this than I thought. Hang on,
he does inspire me. Yes.
What do you mean? Like, where'd you get the suit?
you know, I do like his flair. He always got flair. And just like you, he always has a little puff to accent, just like you have.
Well, you
today.
Do too.
It looks very nice.
You always have that.
Yeah, so, but
you look beautiful.
We're built differently.
Really?
Elaborate, please.
So Keith is a little stocky down low. His legs are a little more stockier, and I'm a little stockier up top.
You've been paying real close attention. A lot closer than I have. I'm going to leave it there.
Well, I did try his jacket. I couldn't fit it.
Thursday, May the 8th, which is 1 week from tonight. It's one of the great events of the year. If you've never been before, you should go to this thing because it's always different every year. There's always a different theme. It's incredibly cool. I have never walked into the room, not a single time. And I know you have nothing to do with this, Clemens.
You're right.
This is all Natasha. you walk in the room and you invariably go, wow. It's always wow. It's something, you know? So you've had Africa as a theme before.
Why don't you tell people what it is, Bob?
Oh, it's the Michael Pinball Clemens Gala.
That's right. It's called We Unite this year.
So it has a different name every year, too.
Yeah, okay. This year called We Unite, and it's called We Unite because we actually have a little bit different layout. You know, usually we're in, like, you know, the Royal York Hotel. We're at the Sound Academy this year, right? And it's a lot more interaction that's going on. So it's a lot more mingling,
Sound
standing
Academy.
Up, moving around. Polson Pier?
Yeah, I've been there.
So,
that's a neat space.
Yeah, really neat space.
And I've never been there.
So it'll be very interesting how it's going to end up and laid out. Martin Sheen is going to be there. He's the feature speaker.
Now, do you know Martin?
I don't know him. It'll be my first time meeting him.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so, and then Classified will be performing. We'll have a few other performers as well. And it'll be an exciting either evening. The Kilberger brothers are there this year. But the neat thing is the food station. So you'll be moving around. You can go get whatever you want. You can get lamb or you can, you know, go over here and get. So it'll be a lot of different things, a lot more movement than normal. We'll probably go back to the traditional, but specifically because, as you know, our goal is to build 100 schools. Like we did the schools and you know, you are our greatest champion there, and how we've progressed, and we not only met but exceeded that goal of 131.
It's blew past it.
So 160. So actually we had it over 5 years and we did it over 4 years, exceeded it over 4 years. So we're actually trying to double it in the original time. So 5 years will be this fall. And so we're trying to do 262,
okay,
right, by this fall. And the goal is actually just do it all at once. So 100 next Thursday.
100 on Thursday?
On Thursday!
Ike.
Now, we still have a little bit more time if we don't make it.
So, I ain't betting against you.
So today, right now, what I want to talk about is actually launching something called the First 31.
Okay, you got 90 seconds here.
Okay, I got the First 31. So mpcf.ca, if you want to build a school, it's $10,000. I think you kind of know a little bit about what we do. You can find out more information. You can go to mpcf.ca. If you can come to the gala, the tickets are $350, all the food and spirit that you desire.
Oh, it's worth it.
And please come and indulge and know that money is going to be straight, you know, going towards building schools. And so the First 31 is I'm going to try to get a little bit of a head start and try to build 31 schools before we get there. I called some guys in the last 2 days. I'm already at 15.
Mm. Ooh.
So got 16 to go in the next 7 days. So if you want to come and you said you'd like to build a school, right? You build a school and we'll give you a couple of tickets to come. They can sit at my table. And if you can't come but you'd like to sponsor a school or any portion thereof,
any
mpcf.ca, go on, click on donate and go under build a school.
$5, $10, $20, $100, $1,000, build a school, build two schools, whatever you can do.
Yeah, whatever you can do. And that's the key, whatever you can do.
Whatever you
can
do.
It all makes a difference.
And as you know, the listeners to this show are like nobody else. What they did the last few years to help out was just like out of this world.
Untouchables, yes.
We hope to see you all there on May the 8th. I'll plug it again.
All right, thank you so much.
Hang out with Pelly some more.
All right.
Makes you look taller. That's Pinball. More to come. Another hour of primetime ahead.